Baby, now you ready. Baby, now you ready.
Welcome to the Full Press Packers Pod, part of Full Press Coverage. My name is Kyle Sunra, and joining me is my co-host, Jesse Hall. How you doing, Jesse?
Hey, it's Victory Monday against a quality opponent, so there's not much to complain about over here.
Great victory, like you said, for the Packers against the Rams. You know, two teams competing for the NFC playoffs in general, especially the Packers competing for the first round bye, and a one-score victory, but still, 36-28, Packers get the home win over the Rams. So I guess maybe through three quarters that we could have said this. I know that the technically the Rams outscored the Packers 11-0 in the fourth quarter, but at that big of a margin, and you're not so concerned. I mean, it's still with that, Packers still won, felt comfortably. One of those touchdowns was pretty late, and the chance at an onside kick, which, yay, special teams. But yeah, I think for three quarters especially, was this the best Packers game of the season so far for this team?
It's up there, right? Matt LaFleur always says, style points don't matter. If you win by one or 100, it's all winning, right? You take it any way you can get it. At the same time, it was, being nitpicky was a little frustrating because we need to bury teams like this, especially good ones. You can't let them hang around because the Packers were the superior team. Just if you watched that game and took the score out of it, the Packers win by 20. And that's really how much dominant they were. There's no argument about it. The Packers were the superior team from the jump. They got after it. They just didn't finish a lot, but the Packers are good, right? So if you're saying it's their most quality, I agree, because really from here on out, and I don't want the target on our back, but they made a statement. I really think they did. They're the team that you don't want to mess with right now, and they're only going to get better, or they should only get better.
Yeah, I think the one area where the Packers seemed to completely outmatch the Rams was the Packers' defensive line versus the Rams' offensive line. Getting Rashawn Gary back, that's always nice. He seemed to play really well, and looked as healthy as he can be, considering. The reinforcements there were certainly needed. Kenny Clark was a beast. It seems like they double teamed him often, certainly more than what we saw over the last 2 weeks. Like the Vikings and certainly the Seahawks seemed kind of, almost arrogant, but like willing to just, okay, we'll go one on one with Clark and we'll work around it if we need to. But the Rams, there's a lot of double teaming, and he's, whenever he was one on one, it seems like he found a way through, get in the backfield and disrupt, pressure, everything we expect Clark to do. But Preston Smith, Rashawn Gary also really stepped up and played really well as well. And that really dominated there. I would say the other side of the trenches, the Packers O-line actually played really well. There were times where the Rams brought pressure, but there were also times where Rodgers had clean pockets. So I think considering the Rams' talent in that front, you'd call that as close to a win as possible. Even if it's neutral, you'd still kind of call that a win considering who the Packers were especially missing. Arguably their two best offensive linemen in David Bakhtiari and Elgton Jenkins. So they're two best offensive linemen in David Bakhtiari and Elgton Jenkins. That's not really an argument there. The argument is who's better than the other, but that's a debate we're not really going to have this year. So, I think kudos to the offensive line for playing well, but man, that defensive line for the Packers really, they really dominated. They really wanted that win.
Right. Just a shot in the arm when Rashawn Gary's back out there. I mean, make it a impact game-changing field-tilting play right off the jump, right? That strip sack. And even if you didn't blow up the stat sheet much after that, that dude was getting after it all game. That guy is a game changer for sure. Everything you said about Kenny Clark, there's not much to add to it. He's a man among boys. And yeah, the offensive line. I mean, when you look at it, we're down, three starters counting, Myers being out. And with all the talent the Rams have, I mean, Aaron Donald, then you got the two pass rushers and Floyd and Miller. Did they even play? I mean, I know Miller had a few pressures and stuff, but wow. Kudos to the offensive line, Adam Stanovich, because they're holding their own. The running game, they're not maybe getting all the push they want to get, but still, can you ask for anything better? It's really pretty amazing. And they're just getting better. I mean, I just love how they play as a group. You might make, there's a mistake here, a mistake there. They don't get flustered. They stay in unison. It's just really a lot of credit to how they just gel. It was a great front and they held their own. I mean, that's a win. That's a win in my book. One sack. There's a few pressures. Aaron Rodgers was, for the most part, until a little bit later in the game, when the Rams, you know, just kind of threw this kitchen sink out there, he stayed clean.
Yeah, and I will say Rodgers actually played really well. Again, we know the last 2 weeks he's dealt with this toe injury, and yet he's just been throwing touchdowns, looking great, and even ran one in this game against the Rams. So I thought he's played maybe his best football of late. It's funny, with these injuries, you figure, okay, is this going to, you know, slow him down even further? But, I mean, he's probably, you know, as the season goes on, it seems like he's getting better and sharper. Kudos to Rodgers for that, even without practicing over the last 2 weeks. Like, these last two games really have been incredible for him. And, I mean, we should be used to that by now. It's, you know, I think last season really set a high expectation. We've had a couple of those seasons before, but 2020 really, like, stratosphere for Aaron Rodgers. And to expect him to do that again, game in, game out, the following season, probably not realistic. But, you know, if he can save those games up for end of the season playoff push, that's what we'd hope for. So great game there from the quarterback. And the offense in general, again, tough defense. And I think, the idea of Matt LaFleur wanting to take up time of possession, incredibly important. I mean, this game, they again, doubled up the Rams. 39 minutes and 40 seconds to 20 minutes and 20 seconds. As close to double as you can get there. So, I see two drives in particular that were really important, and it was the first drive of both halves for the Packers offense. And it's funny, the opening drive of the game, the Packers drive down. It takes 8 minutes to go from their own, where were they? They were inside their own 10, and they got just outside of field goal range, almost kicked it. And I was actually kind of happy they didn't. The momentum of the drive, what you took up, win the field position battle. I don't know if I'm just watching too much CFL lately. Win the field position battle. And punted there, pinned the Rams deep, and then eventually got the ball back, and then scored. And then it seemed like it set the game off on the right tone. So what you didn't want to do was miss the field goal and give them the field position back. You wanted to ensure great field position, so you punt the ball there. And I thought that was actually a really good decision. It didn't panic. You know, it would have been like a 47-yarder. You know, and Crosby did miss one later, but he did make three good kicks, and I don't think any of them were 47 yards. Like, he made shorter kicks than that. I think he did make one from over 40, but a couple were shorter, and I think it was give him the easier shots to make, let him get in the zone. I mean, 75% of this game, better than nothing. You still wouldn't love to see the miss at the end, but still, I think, like, that decision there was great, and it showed the emphasis of the drive was successful, not because they got points out of it, but because they ate up clock and they won the field position battle.
Right. I think the key goes back on that is your defense got you a 3-and-out to start, you know, and that's confidence in that group, right? The confidence in Joe Barry that he was going to be prepared against his old team. So, yeah, I also like the decision. Of course, 8-minute drive, you wish you came away with points. But, yeah, it was just at that spot of the field, you know, you just didn't want to do it right away and then give the Rams momentum. And case in point, you know, the Rams got desperate early and tried to, hey, 4th and short inside their own 30. Oh, yeah, easy pickup, right? Amos made a play. And guess what? That swings the game. They trusted their defense and it worked out. Yeah, it was a great decision. And that first drive in the second half, that was basically taking the wind out of the Rams' sails, right? The Rams going into halftime, scoring some points, getting back in the game when it really should have been like 24-0 or 24-7. You know, they're back in the game down 3. Nice long drive right after half. Cap it with a touchdown. And it's basically, I don't want to say it's a dagger yet, but it's first blow to finishing them off. So great time of possession win. You know, they stuck with their game plan. You know, the running game wasn't dominating by any means. A.J. Dillon, 61 of his 65 yards were after contact. So, you know, we weren't just, there wasn't big holes there, but they kept with it where the Rams had to respect it. And then Aaron Rodgers just went to work. He was a surgeon at times. So, yeah, they find in ways to beat teams. How do you stop that? You know, that's going to be the issue for other teams because the Packers are finding ways to win the game in, you know, controlling it. So, yeah, time of possession, being efficient, it's pretty nice. The Mason Crosby stuff, even the ones he made were kind of scary, but hey, he was 3 for 4. That's better than 2 for 4, I guess. But oh man, there's got to be a little bit of soul searching, I think, in this bye time.
So Crosby stuff aside, I'll miss the point on that one. But something you said, it was just about like AJ Dillon getting all those yards after contact, right? Like the offensive line doing just enough to not allow like tackles for loss every play, like get the running back at least ahead of Steve, that where, okay, if even if he gets met in the backfield, he could push his way through. It reminds me, I think, was it the Cardinals game where both Jones and Dylan did that often, gaining first downs, getting touchdowns that way. I think it was the Cardinals game. We spoke about that, like just the power of the running backs, even when things aren't blocked for them, they can still gain the yards they need.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's kudos to them not going down with first contact. I mean, it's getting colder out, right? You know, we get that one seed or, you know, get a home playoff game. That's the hammer right there, you know, where you can hit them, but they're going to still, you know, it kind of reminds me of Eddie George football, you know, going back, you know, dating myself a little bit here, but going back to the 90s and stuff where he was always falling forward and getting a couple extra yards. That's deflating. And yeah, that's what they do. You know, Aaron Jones wasn't as effective this game, you know, coming back from injury, but you know, together that tandem in cold weather, I love it.
And the other thing you mentioned, like that drive to start the second half for the Packers, taking up, what did it take up? Like close to 8 minutes again. So you had two drives to start, like for the offense to start each half that were right around 8 minutes long. But this time ended with the score and a touchdown. And instead of being a 3-point game, it made it a 2-score game. And I'm looking, the Rams didn't make it a 1-score game again until 18 seconds left in the entire game. When they kicked the field goal to make it 36-28 and then tried the onside to try get one last possession to get those 8 points. But outside of that, it was they were 2 scores away the rest of the game, like the majority of the third quarter and almost the entirety of the fourth quarter. So that drive really started it, kickstarted everything for that really like third quarter dominance. Like that third quarter might have been the best single quarter of football the Packers have played this season.
Oh, I agree. You know, you get the pick six in there, just constant pressure on Stafford. You know, Rasul Douglas, yeah, he got beat late. I don't know why he didn't have help over the top, especially when the game was getting spread, but whatever, not a big deal. But the way he jumped that route, amazing. Eric Stokes was lights out, you know, nice bounce back game after the week before. I mean, he was... Don't throw it aside because he shut it down and he almost had a pick six too. That kid's going to get one. Trust me, he's going to get one before the season's done. But yeah, it was a great quarter, you know, and then fourth quarter, they kind of went into prevent. I get it. You know, you just try to like keep everything in front of you. You know that the game the offense is, you know, grinding the clock out. So yeah, that third quarter, you know, it'd be nice to see all 60 minutes like that.
We've referenced a bit of Matt LaFleur already, but I do want to focus a lot on the coaching because I thought there was a few things. We talked about last game, the penalties, right? Like they needed to really hammer that out, especially on the offensive line. What was it? One offensive penalty this game, I think. It was Lucas Patrick with that illegal block in the back or the illegal blindside block. I think that was the only penalty on offense in the game.
You might be right. I thought there might have been maybe that, I think that's the only one. I don't have it pulled up in front of me, but yeah, I'm going to go with that. Yeah, if it was one, maybe two, but yeah, one sounds about right.
Because I see, looking here on the Pro Football Reference page, it's got the Packers at 3 penalties. I tracked 2. One of them was on special teams, so it's 2 max on offense, if it is that. But I mean, like it was the pre-snap penalties, the false starts. That was what was killing them, and none of that. So that was great to see. Because, like, again, like, the thing with Lucas Patrick, like, he's playing tough. Like, those types of penalties you can kind of accept. They're in the heat of the play happening. Stuff's quick. Like, you know, you could sometimes, okay, a hold happens or an illegal block happens. You don't, like, the player turns and it becomes blindside or whatever. Like, you can accept those. But it's those pre-snap penalties that really kills you. So, first off, like, kudos to LaFleur and the entire offensive coaching staff for working those out because that wasn't there at all. And, like, especially early when it was, like, the first half was a tight game. Like that stuff that you couldn't afford to have because it might tilt the balance there.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, it's, you know, and what a difference home field and playing, you know, in a hostile territory in Minnesota makes too. You know, I think that helps out a lot with the pre-stuff. But yeah, you're right. Hey, you know, they went into it, you know, after that loss. And let's be honest, a lot of mistakes kind of cost them that game, you know, mistakes that are fixable. And they cleaned it up, you know, and that's what good teams do. You know, you look at what you did, you learn from it, and you move on. So, yeah, kudos to the coaching staff. I mean, if Matt LaFleur is not the coach of the year, I don't know who is. But, that, I mean, it's a little early for that stuff. But, wow, you know, doesn't drop back-to-back games, hasn't done it yet. great game plan coming in. You know, I don't know if that's extra motivation against, you know, an old friend and, you know, guy you worked underneath it, but whew, he went in there and he kicked his butt. That's for sure.
Yeah. I mean, we said it like with Shanahan's had a really good time beating McVay a lot. Seems like LaFleur is already off to a good start with that. The playoff win last year, this game here, when both teams are again competing for first round buys, realistically, that probably ends for the Rams here with this win, to be honest. Not just the Packers, like, you know, the Cardinals within their own division as well for the Rams. So like that's going to be really tough for them to get that first round buy now. And I mean, they might not even win the division, right? Like that could be a wild card team having to go on the road to start the playoffs too. So you know that team is really gearing to win this and needing a win, frankly. And the Packers just as hungry and were able to get it. So kudos to them. But like, to the credit of Matt LaFleur as coach of the year, one thing, and I don't know if this is going to turn up anywhere, if anyone's going to even notice this or mention this, but like turn up on any stat sheets, but he used two timeouts in this game on special teams. That's maybe something that as an offensive minded head coach, you can't necessarily, how do I make special teams better, right? Like you put Maurice Staten in, you think he's the guy that can make that unit better. And I mean, to be fair, the Rams special teams aren't that great. I looked at going into the game, the Football Outsiders DVOA for special teams had Packers at 29th, surprisingly not last in the league. I was almost shocked by that. And the Rams at 26. So like really close. Like, okay, these are both pretty bad special teams units. For reference sake, it was the Chargers that were the worst, actually. But yeah, the Packers quite down there. And they kind of dominated the Rams on special teams. And I think a couple of those times, we as a team are going to use our timeout to, okay, on special teams, give give Maurice Staten an extra look at what the opponent's doing on special teams. You do that a lot offense, defensively, but you don't ever really do that type of thing on special teams. So maybe it's like, okay, we're struggling with it. We need any edge we can get. So let's use a couple of our two timeouts, a third of them. Like I think they use one in each half doing this, where we're going to take what we think is an important special teams play. Let's see what the other team lines up with. Let's give the offense, like, or give our team a look at that, and then give Staten again maybe a better look, a better call, get the players set up better instructions, and then I think the results are there. Like, and I wonder if the whole team believes more in special teams as a priority, if they're seeing the coaches put a priority on it. Like, again, use a third of your timeouts in the game to just make sure you've got the right call on special teams. And you know, Chris Barnes playing special teams, an amazing play. So again, maybe, you know, we've kind of in the past last season, Chris, why is Barnes playing special teams so much? But it's again, maybe you get your great players out there so you can at least be, again, average at special teams. Certainly they look like they were dominant on special teams, but again, the Rams have been pretty bad at it this year, but it's nice to see that if they put the effort into it and then they end up with favorable matchups, the Packers could be that team that is the kind of the bully on special teams. Like maybe, I think there was one good Rams return. So it's not as if the Packers like dominated the whole game, but there were a lot of plays where, okay, they look like to be the better special teams unit. And I don't think we said that at any point of any game this season.
Oh man, don't jinx them now, but yeah, I agree. Good point. You know, listen, don't let special teams beat you. And I think that's what Matt LaFleur was doing there when, you know, this is kind of a pivotal point. Let's call a timeout, talk it over, and, you know, put ourselves in position to succeed. And the only goal should be, we don't need big returns. We don't need nothing crazy like that. Catch the football. Let the offense do their thing, right? The offense is starting to hum, you know, and I think that's why they put Cobb back there. And then, unfortunately, he fumbles it, you know, drops the catch. But, you know, don't make mistakes. And the coverage unit, for the most part, they were really good. And you're right. They were starting to put guys in like Barnes. Then you saw St. Brown come down there, and he made a good play. They're starting to put emphasis on this where we can't let special teams handcuff us. And that's good to see. You start winning all three phases, you're going to be a tough out. So, yeah, kudos to the staff. You know, again, putting a little bit of extra, let's talk it over and, you know, come with the right way to attack it.
And just to single out Barnes again, I guess it may transition to our final topic. But, I, you know, setting the tone right away, like, okay, so he made the big play on special teams, got the fumble recovery. Huge tilting moment of the game, right? I mean, again, any turnovers in what was at halftime a 3-point game. So anything within that frame that you know, created turnovers, changed the possessions around, kind of was a, you know, was a big deal and certainly played on the outcome of the game. Obviously, it's an entire 60 minutes of football that decided it, but plays here or there make huge impacts at times on the outcomes of the game, and that seemed like that was a play that was. But even right off the bat, like you talked about earlier in the episode, that three and out to start the game defensively. Opening kickoff goes to the Rams. First play of the game, I think the first two plays of the game go to Darrell Henderson. The first one, Campbell makes the tackle. The next one, Barnes in coverage. I think he allows a reception, but gets the tackle, and I think sets him up with, I think they were third and six, and they were able to get the pressure to influence, create an incomplete, and there you go. They're punting three and out. And so the two linebackers are Campbell and Barnes right away defensively, like, say, no, we're not gonna allow this. We're gonna make the tackles. We're every yard that you want to gain, Rams, or you're gonna have to fight for it. I think both of them deserve credit, and I guess I don't know if you want to say anything additional about them, Jesse, but you can in the Packers prime performer of the week, because I've got a couple ideas, but nothing really like for sure this player. I don't know. I guess I'm kind of starting the discussion with either of those linebackers, really, between Campbell or Barnes. I think maybe you'd give the edge to Barnes. I'm seeing he led the team in tackles. And again, that impact on special teams. You might say Chris Barnes this week, but what do you think about the Packers prime performer for week 12?
Well, now I forget. I'm thinking over the year who's all won it already. But yeah, so Barnes is one guy that was up there for me. You know, a nice game he had, solid, right? You know, the guy give up a reception, cool. Don't get any yards on it. It's a gain of three or gain of four. That's good football. Had a nice play on special teams. Adrian Amos, I don't know. That guy's so good. That tackle was, they had to go less than a yard, and that dude came up and made a play. He's just so sound technically, I don't think he gets credit for that. Cause it's like, he's not making all these crazy splash plays, but he's so technically sound that he just does everything. Rasul Douglas again. I mean, he had the pick six, which was huge, kind of tilted the game, but he also had four pass defenses. He should have had another pick six. Really. If he catches that ball that hits him right in the hands, he scores. Or if he doesn't score, it's close. So he had a great game. And then Yosh Nijman, man, offensive lineman. I just love the big guys coming in. Tough matchup this week. And that dude just gets better and better, where he might start pushing himself for next year, having a starting spot. That's out. But, if there's an opening at right tackle maybe next year, if Billy Turner's not around, this guy might win that job. Just hats off to him. Held his own. Had a little bit of problems with Miller and the speed rushing. But other than that, that even Aaron Rodgers said in his post game, he's like, I forgot about even worrying about the left side because they shut it down. That's high praise from your quarterback to a third string guy really playing over there. So those are my guys that I would put in that group. You can debate the final answer.
Yeah, some good names there for sure. I wanted to throw one more in. Aaron Rodgers himself. Frankly, I mean, like, this was a game where, okay, you as the quarterback, like, Stafford's getting a lot of praise. He's doing well, though. In the last couple of weeks, not so great, but certainly you look at the season as a whole, Stafford's done really well with the Rams. And, Rodgers maybe has a chance to kind of still prove that he's the better guy, and I think he certainly did, without a doubt there. And I thought he had a great game, but my gut instinct was Chris Barnes, just because he impacted, how much special teams did he play? I'll look up the snap counts, but he certainly made a huge impact on two phases, both defense consistently throughout the game. There was a play where he covered Cooper Kupp, I believe, out in coverage. Like, that's a tough assignment for, like, we were worried about that for Stokes or even Douglas, right? Let alone a linebacker. And he went out and made it. I believe he got a pass knockdown or the pass was incomplete. Like, it that could have been a bit, disaster, something that could have got exploited, and he went and made a really great play on it, and he kind of looked like a natural. Looking here, he played a quarter of the special team snaps, so they didn't use him all the time, but again, it clearly, well-timed on that one to get him out, and it made a real impact. So again, my instinct was Chris Barnes, and as much as I like Amos, again, you talked about that, like, again, he makes impacts on every play, and he's constantly, like, on the field almost 100% of the snaps every game. Again, this game, 100% of the snaps on defense. Him and Sullivan, they kind of create a great duo there, and yeah, come up with a big tackle. So I would lean to either of those two, I think, either Barnes or Amos. I don't know. Do you have any preference between the two, that we've kind of talked through it all?
I like what you're saying with Barnes, because I think he was asked a lot to do, and I think we already gave it to Amos when he had that two interception, could have been four interception game. I agree with Barnes, though. You know, they're asking him to do a lot more, and, you know, he hasn't had his greatest season, and then this week he comes out and, you know, when we really need him, the dude held his own, and now he's playing special teams coverage stuff and getting it done. Yeah, let's give it to Barnes this week.
We actually haven't given it to Amos yet this year. The two interception game, what week was that? Sorry, the almost two. Was that against the Bengals back in week five, or is that the one you remember?
I think, yeah, there was one in the end zone. That might be the Bengals game. I don't know. We're getting late in the season. it might have been the Bengals game. I agree. Yeah. Or maybe the Bears. Not, Bengals, yeah.
And I think that was the game Adams went off. We gave it to Adams that week for his performance. That was his career high, right? His 200-yard game.
Yep. That's it. Yeah, it was that game. You're right.
So, I mean, and there's a couple times like we have, like, Devondre Campbell's been amazing. We still haven't given it to him yet this year. You did in week one. I overruled you and gave it to the four touchdown game to Aaron Jones. But, like, there's some great players that haven't, like, I don't think we gave it once to Kenny Clark last year, if I remember correctly. Like, I remember last year there was a couple guys where we were just like, wow, it's surprising that this guy didn't get one. I think, like, we didn't give one to Za'Darius Smith. And, I mean, he was amazing last season, right? So it's going to happen if we're singling down to one player. But, of course, the listeners, you can decide as well. You can chime in on all this on this Packers Prime Performer Talk. If you want, you can reach us on Twitter at @FPC_Packers. You can also follow your co-hosts individually. Jesse's at Hall_JHall1212. I'm at Senra Says. As always, download the Full Press Coverage app. It's available for free on Android and iOS stores. Gives you access to all the great Full Press Coverage content, both written, audio, video, podcast, the Full Press Radio Network. Everything you want Full Press Coverage available for free on the Full Press Coverage app. Also, shout out to PA the Second on Twitter at @PA_IIOfficial. He lets us use the song Nayu as our intro and outro music, so appreciate PA for that. Jesse, any final thoughts for the listeners on this episode?
It's finally here. Had no Packer game next week, but much needed rest, recoup, recover, all those other rewords, and go Pack go.
We reworked the schedule a little bit, but we've got another episode this week from the Full Press Packers pod. What we're planning to do is just kind of an overview of everything that's gone through the season. We'll look specifically at the other teams in the NFC North. We'll look at the conference in general, the playoffs, and potentially looking at who on the AFC side, if the Packers do reach the Super Bowl like we'd like them to, who on the AFC side they could possibly be facing. So we'll talk about all that next time on the Full Press Packers pod.